First Name Sports starts now.
We're kind of on a first name basis around here.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Okay, let's get started.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Greg Frank.
All righty, we are back here on a Friday afternoon, halfway home on today's show. And, you know, I'm going to pat myself on the back. I know you guys aren't watching, and you can't see me, but I just did that because I have avoided for the most part, I'm going to do it now, but I've avoided I feel like there's a lot of check-ins on, oh, where's DeAndre Hopkins going? Or, oh, where's Dalvin Cook going? And I just think that is very, like, if you beat that into the ground, like, you're not going to have any new information, right? Like, what happened with your thoughts on DeAndre Hopkins? I'll tell you, I have long felt the Patriots make the most sense. I felt that way 3 weeks ago. Why would I have any reason for my thoughts to change now? And, you know, I understand that football is king in this country, but nothing's really going on in the NFL. We're just waiting on these guys to sign. At least these two guys that a lot of people are talking about, Cook and Hopkins. And, you know, there's some, I think Clowney's still a free agent. We ran through the list of guys that are still free agents not that long ago. But I guess I'm just saying it gets old fast talking about where these guys that wait 3 months to finally sign will sign. Having said that, it does appear as if, and maybe this is just because Breece Hall tweeted something last night. Some of these players really love to lean into their the rumor mill. We talked about this yesterday, where executives do it. They play the game and leak stuff. Players then get on their accounts and start tweeting out cryptic messages. Well, Breece Hall must have seen a lot of the chatter surrounding Dalvin Cook and the New York Jets as he tweeted out a notepad with a pencil emoji. That was the whole tweet. As if to say he's taking notes on everybody that's talking about why the Jets should sign Dalvin Cook. First off, Breece Hall, I understand that you were probably on track to be the offensive rookie of the year, which was won by your teammate, Garrett Wilson, by the way. So, you know, I think that if you're not going to win it, it should be good that a teammate wins it. But Breece Hall, I don't think, has the name recognition yet to where he can be like, huh, I'm taking notes of all you people that are saying that Dalvin Cook, who's done a lot more in the NFL than I have, Dalvin Cook should come to the Jets. That's pissing me off. Like, come on. If it were the other way around, I'd at least say, yeah, you know what? Like, Dalvin Cook probably feels like he can still dominate a backfield and doesn't want Breece Hall coming in and taking carries away. But remember, Breece Hall tore his ACL. And I know that ACL recoveries have been a lot quicker, it feels like, the last 5 years than they were the 10 years before that. But since when does it strike you as a bad idea, if you are the New York Jets, to protect your young back a little bit and not rush him back and force him into a bigger role than he's ready to take on early in a season in which you really need to win? I mean, there's no doubt about it. I don't care how loaded the AFC is. If the Jets miss the playoffs, season's a failure for the Jets. And I am not shying away from using that term. Sorry, Giannis. But the Jets' bar is absolutely to make the playoffs. And listen, if they don't get, some people think they should, you bring in Rodgers, you need to win the Super Bowl. I understand that, you know what, if you have to go to Arrowhead and then Cincinnati back-to-back weeks, like, you might not win both of those games. But you got to get in the playoffs. And so I bring all this up to say that if you're a team that, you know, and by the way, Robert Saleh, you know, if they miss the playoffs, he's probably fired. So this is all my way of saying that if you're a win now mode type of team, these are the kinds of moves usually that you make, late offseason additions, where you go out and bring a player in just before the season starts or camp opens as a way of kind of dotting the I's and crossing the T's. So it's no surprise that the two teams we hear a lot for Dalvin Cook, ironically, are in the same division. But one of them, the Dolphins, made the playoffs last year. And the Jets obviously have playoff aspirations in 2023. So from that lens, these are teams that are trying to kind of, as I say, dot the I's and cross the T's on their roster. And so they're the ones that might entertain bringing in Dalvin Cook. And on a one-year deal, Dalvin Cook to the Jets makes a whole lot of sense because he can burden a lot, carry a lot of the load early on in 2023. And then when Breece Hall comes back, maybe it's a little bit of a tandem for the second half of the year. And you know what? A one-year deal. And if you're Breece Hall, maybe you have to live with that for 2023. And then the backfield's yours in 2024. Again, you're coming back from a major knee injury. I don't think that's the worst idea in the world. So I think that the Jets are in win-now mode, and it makes sense for them to fill a spot on their roster that could use some insurance, let's say. And also, I've talked about this, and I don't know if the promo's, I think it's still running, the Jordan Love promo that I have in here about how I think the Jordan Love-led Packers could make the playoffs because Jordan Love could be what Rodgers was last year, and last year the Packers were a win-and-in situation on a Sunday night football game against the Detroit Lions from making the playoffs at home, and they lost. So my point is, what does Aaron Rodgers have left? And if you're gangrene, don't you think it makes sense to fortify the run game for your aging quarterback? I understand that they have some good pieces on defense. Sauce Gardner, Quinn Williams. And I understand that you probably want to think that Breece Hall will play an integral role into making plays in your backfield. And Garrett Wilson will keep getting better. But adding a little more insurance at running back makes life easier for Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not saying that the Jets think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a game manager, but why is it a bad thing? I've always said there's no such thing as a bad one-year deal. So why is it a bad thing to bring in an accomplished running back on one-year deal? And if he really is washed, it's a one-year deal. And you move on. But I definitely think that this makes a lot of sense for the Jets. And you also keep Dalvin Cook away from the Dolphins, who you're going to see twice a year. All of this is kind of, we're checking a lot of boxes here, I guess is what I would say. And I, as far as Breece Hall is concerned, if you have to take your time coming back and maybe you're in more of a part-time role than you'd want, I think that's not the end of the world. Because it's not like Dalvin Cook is getting a 3 or 4 year deal from the Jets. They've already been down the Le'Veon Bell experience. I think we'd be looking at a 1, maybe 2 year deal, but I very much expect it to be 1 year. And, you know, lastly, if you're Dalvin Cook, how much better are you going to do than the Jets? I mean, maybe the Dolphins, but, you know, if you're Dalvin Cook, take what's best available right now. Gobble up a lot of carries in the early portion of 2023 when Breece Hall is still working his way back. Prove that you can still be a bell cow back, even if it's only for half the season, or however long Hall is out. And maybe you do get one last nice contract of 2-3 years next offseason. So it's interesting how, while he's accomplished a lot, Dalvin Cook is kind of in prove-it mode. In a lot of ways, Aaron Rodgers is. It's a different kind of prove-it. We all know that those guys at the past have been, you know, in previous tenures in their career have been elite players at their positions. But let's see that you still got it. And I think that message might resonate a little bit with Dalvin Cook. So I think if you're Dalvin Cook, you should this is just my two cents. I would want to just be signed and have a camp and have a normal start to my season. Now, some guys don't care. They'll wait it out, look for an injury. But we already still have a little bit of an injury here with Breece Hall. We don't know what his timeline looks like thus far coming back from the ACL. So, you know, I'm sure that wherever Cook lands, he'll be out with something to prove. And for that reason, I think the Jets make sense. So we'll see if this gets over the finish line. But as I said, we're checking a lot of boxes here. And it is now July 7th. Training camp's opening in about 3 weeks. Again, if I'm Dalvin Cook, I want to sign a contract. I want a normal start to my 2023 after the divorce with the Vikings. All right, there are some real morons asking questions at Wimbledon. And we got a couple audio clips to play in light of some of the reporter gaffes that have happened across the pond. We will get to that on the other side. And then it's our Friday benchmarks. 10th inning, Friday 5 still to come. As we wrap things up for this Friday afternoon, First Team Sports, Sports Map Radio.
This is First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Greg Frank.
I have a very low tolerance for egregious reporter gaffes. I understand we're all human. And, you know, a slip of the tongue here or there might happen in terms of, you know, oh, you've played this player 9 times and they've played him 10 or something, you know, like little things like that. Okay, whatever. But some of the stuff that reporters have asked recently at Wimbledon is like, yo, like, what's going on here? And I will tell you, before we get to the cuts, having been there now the last 2 years, there are some morons. It's amazing to think about it because for a lot of us, Radio Row at the Super Bowl is one of the coolest things in the industry. But I'm not necessarily talking about Radio Row as much as I am the opening night that gets televised. The amount of people credentialed at this, there are some real, like, morons that don't know anything about football. They're not there, and the Super Bowl is like a bigger than football event, but then it leads to questions that get asked where reporters clearly don't know that much about the people that they're asking questions to. And it just, as a sports guy, it makes my eyes get wide. And this first one is really something. I don't know what nationality the reporter is, but Paula Badosa is a Spanish women's tennis player and lost her match. And here's how her press conference started.
Congrats for your win. I'm Odemi Diwale.
I lost.
You missed some matches because of injury. Yes. Could you please tell us about your fitness and confidence level, please?
For your information, I just lost. I didn't win. So,
she didn't win.
Like, come on! You don't even need to watch the match. You just need to look at the score. And you'll notice, Badosa goes, I lost. And then the reporter just keeps going. Like, what is going on? How are you that, like, tone deaf? And you're covering the sport. Like, that's the most basic thing. Before we get into why you lost or how you lost or what's next or all the questions that follow in a press conference. You kind of have to know who won and who lost. It's unbelievable. Now, there has been a, you know, and this isn't just in tennis, with the geopolitical tension between Russia and Ukraine, it has found its way into the sports world a little bit, just in terms of a lot of Russian athletes getting asked questions about what's going on. And, you know, in the case of Wimbledon, and I think this was kind of unfair, but again, I don't want to get overly political here. The Russians and also Belarusians, so natives of Belarus, were banned from participating in the Grand Slam last year. And so they are back participating this year. And one of those players is a native of Belarus, and her name is Victoria Azarenka, who has won, I believe, the Australian Open before and has had a nice career. And is a mom and, you know, came back. Or I think her son is like 6 years old now. But at the age of 33, she's still pretty competitive. And she was asked about the meaning of Wimbledon in Russia. And as you can hear in this cut, the reporter clearly doesn't seem to understand that she's from Belarus and not Russia.
I was going to offer ask a question along those similar lines, but just what does Wimbledon mean to Russia? Is it big over there? Again, just in terms of its part it plays in culture. And
you do know I'm not from Russia.
Well, yeah. Just in terms of just being on tour at all, is that something that you've become aware of at all of its significance?
And we included that last part because the stuttering from the reporter is pretty blatantly like, oh, I screwed that one up. Can I wiggle my way out of this somehow? And in both cases there, in different ways, the Azarenka one, the reporter is a little bit more like stuttery and a little unsure of himself. And the Badosa one, the reporter just plows right through and just keeps going. But they're trying to do whatever they feel is best to mask their blatant gaffe. I think that not knowing the final score of the match is worse than not knowing a player's nationality. But a player's nationality is, you know, one of the basic pieces of information that you should know about them, I feel like. And it's just getting kind of like, oh, you know, who cares? by these reporters. Go ahead. You have something to say, Bellner?
You've been in situations like this, right, where you've asked questions post-match, post-game, whatever. Have you ever made a gaffe similar to this in a sense?
I don't think I've made one this bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I can think back to, you know, a gaffe along the lines of, oh, well, these two division rivals haven't played yet this year, have they? And it's like, oh, they have. So I don't know. Is that as bad?
Little
as
not, stuff, not even close.
Yeah.
No.
Like, I think that I'll say this. I think that if I have, it would stand out. I will give you one story. And this wasn't on me. This was just a grumpy coach that lost. I kind of got Popovich'd once.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it was my senior year of college, and I went to Temple University, and you know, our college basketball in Philly is a big deal to the locals. I wish it was more well known nationally, but the Big Five is the Big Five colleges. They just added Drexel, but it was for a while Temple, Villanova, St. Joseph's, LaSalle, and Penn. the University of Pennsylvania Ivy League schools in Philly. And they just added Drexel, which is right next door to Penn. So anyway, it was a big five game between Temple and St. Joe's. And if you'll think back quite a while ago now, Jameer Nelson made national headlines at St. Joe's, ended up playing in the NBA. And Phil Martelli was a longtime coach at St. Joseph's University. So Temple beats St. Joe's, and I'm in the press conference after the game, and I ask Martelli, what are some of the things that Obi Anecionia, who was one of the players for Temple, he had a pretty nice game. And I said, what are some of the things that Obi does that make him such a challenging guard? He was like a stretch four that could score inside but had a nice jump shot, and pretty good college player. And Martelli like slowed his answer, and then he took a sip of water, and then I heard the gulp of the water in the microphone that was hot, and he goes, he makes a lot of shots. And then there's like a five-second pause. And when that happened, I was like, because I'm like 22 years old.
So,
right?
Should
like,
I start talking again?
Right, like, yeah. Exactly. And so I then eventually it was clear that he wasn't going to say anything else. So I go, that's it? Then Martelli goes, well, you see, in the game of basketball, if you can take the ball and put it in the basket, that's good, right? And
that's such a jerk response.
Yeah, and I was just like, yeah, I would agree with that. Like, I thought about like, well, actually, I shouldn't say that. If I could do that, if I could go back in time to that moment again, I would have gotten more like, oh, so that's what you're gonna do. Like, I would have leaned into like and said,
you're all
right,
more
like,
confident now, though.
No reason to be an a-hole. Correct.
Sure.
Right. So that's the one thing that stands out, but that's not like a gaffe, like a forgetting the final score or something.
I hate when a player like they feel attacked by a question, even though they shouldn't. So they just explain
all
the,
I did
the
was
basics
ask,
of the game.
What makes this player a tough guard?
Golly.
Yeah, exactly. And then lastly at Wimbledon today, Irina Sabalenka, who's also a native of Belarus, won today. She's the the Australian Open champion from earlier this year. And the on-court interviewer, they do an interview on the court after they win, goes, you obviously want to play well here. I know you want to do one or two rounds better than you did last year. And it's like, well, she didn't play last year. So, duh. Ugh, low tolerance for that kind of stuff. 10th inning is up on the other side. There's one very vintage 10th inning story that I'm sure a lot of sports radio shows have already addressed, but I'm sure that'll be our center field leadoff hitter in the 10th inning show, as we will 10th inning segment, excuse me. So that's next, and then our Friday Five to wrap things up for the week. First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Well, we go into extra innings here, huh?
Time to give you the extra stories and headlines that you probably missed from the week that was.
It's the 10th inning on First Name Sports.
All right, 10th inning is our penultimate segment for the week, and we always like to recap the loosey-goosey headlines of the week as I deem them. Although this first one ain't that loosey-goosey. I think everybody knows what's going on now with this one. But the idea is the less serious sports headlines that you might have missed because they're less serious and you might just not care. So I'm sure we have some of those as well, but Belmer, let's intro our big leadoff.
Yeah, we hadn't talked about it all week, and it doesn't surprise me. It's not really up your alley for a serious sports show. I understand that. But I've heard it everywhere. So this week, Victor Wembanyama is in Las Vegas because he's going to be playing in the Summer League, which, by the way, I'm surprised by because we were told he wasn't going to. Now he is, which is great. We get to see the French sensation, the phenom. Yep. But he had a run-in with a name that I agree with you. You said earlier, hadn't heard for a while.
Yeah.
Me either. Britney Spears, the princess of pop. He had a run-in with her. Apparently, she's seen him. They were walking in like a public space. She decided to run up behind him, almost like a fangirl type of situation. I don't think the security guards that were with Victor knew who she was. She tried to either grab or tap Victor on the back, trying to get a picture, autograph, whatever she wanted. The security guard, in a way, I don't think it was intentional, almost backhanded her across the face. She was struck across the face. by one of the security guards that were with Victor, which Victor did confirm was Spurs security staff. So that kind of adds the Spurs to this a little bit. Apparently, she started screaming in a British accent, which is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. That she goes in and out of this sort of British accent thing. She screamed, you know, this is America, F you. She got really upset. Victor's security went over and apologized.
So she screamed, this is America, in a British accent.
Yes, in a British accent. It said, you know, F you to the guys, you know. And you know, Victor's security goes and apologizes to her, says he didn't know who she was. You know, let's bury the hatchet. But apparently she's determined to make it a bigger deal than it really needed to be. But is this something that Victor should be worried about? The security guard has already not been charged, you know, for striking her.
This is like the biggest nothing burger.
The biggest
in the history of
I agree.
TMZ. Like,
I think it's
know.
Fascinating because she's such a big time like name from at one point in time, and it just so happened that she's gonna have this run in with the biggest NBA sensation going on right now.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Like, there's an element of like hitting the lottery, or like, what are the odds? You know, that it's.
It's so
like,
weird.
How is she in the same spot as him? Like,
yeah, it's so weird. Well, I'm sure she frequents Vegas now that her
no, I know, but
her thing is over.
I mean,
where she was
being
controlled.
It's,
yeah,
it's a big city. Like, you know, what, there's probably all sorts of celebrities in Houston right
I'm
now
also
who we're not anywhere close to.
I'm also surprised with her type of attitude and the way she sees herself with the British accent and the you know this is America, that she would even like run towards Victor in like a fangirl type of thing. She doesn't seem like a basketball fan to me. She doesn't seem like she'd be that interested in Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah. I'll be honest, the amount of hyper analyzing that I've seen people do with this in terms of well, who initiated what? I mean, it just, I agree with you. I think when this is just going to blow over and be nothing.
It's going to be nothing because the security guard's already not charged. There's already been apologies.
Yeah.
They're not going to see each other again. I mean, what are the chances of that? So
it's
over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
One thing that's not over is the Summer League. That's coming up pretty quick here.
What's going on? Well, actually, the one in Salt Lake City is.
In Salt Lake City's already going on. I don't think so, no. But Victor Wembanyama is going to play. I think he's there for it. It's starting anytime now.
Yeah.
But the ticket prices to get in to see this guy.
Actually, I'm curious.
Have been varied. So usually in a Summer League game, the average ticket's about $40.
I was going to ask, look, can I guess?
Yeah, sure.
$150.
That's low. That's low even for the low end of the tickets.
$300.
So that's like middle of the pack between the two. So the low end for the tickets start at $186, and the high end is all the way up at $617.
Oh, my God.
Just to see this guy. I mean, he is playing Brandon Miller and the Hornets to start it. So, I mean, you're seeing one and two versus each other, but this is to see a summer league game.
So I was just curious about this because I started looking around last year during the playoffs at the different major league teams that were in the playoffs because the prices in Philly were like the most expensive. And I thought about going home for a game. You could go to Game 7 of the World Series if there was a Game 7 in Houston for like $700, $800 after fees. Like, that was a get-in price.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
in 2017, it was a lot higher than that.
Because they had already won. Or they hadn't won yet.
They hadn't won yet. Yeah.
Right. But 600, unbelievable. I would, like, I was going to guess, when you said average, like, 40 seems high. I was going to guess, like, $10.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, 40 for an average ticket seems high for Summer League.
Absolutely.
All right, so scratch the Summer League. Let's move into the regular season, or actually partway through the regular season. The NBA announced in-season tournament is going to happen. We're going to get some more details tomorrow. We talked about that a little bit. But there's a few details that are out there I wanted to kind of throw by you. The semifinals and finals will be held in Vegas, like Final Four style.
Yep.
And the players for the tournament champion will receive $500,000 each. These stats in this tournament will also go towards the regular season stats. What say you about this in-season tournament?
Well, this made our Friday Five as well. I do not care at all about, like, it doesn't, like, I shouldn't say don't care at all. I don't care any more than I would if this was just these in-season tournament games were at the higher seed, like the Saturday night ABC games that they have in the regular season. Like, you know what? If I'm interested, I watch it. Great. If not, like, you know, because I'm sure there's going to be some, like, yay, midseason tournament champions, like, thing for whoever wins.
It's going to mean nothing for the players.
Right.
In
my
opinion.
500,000 ain't doing a whole lot to get them to care more,
well,
right?
500,000, I mean, for some of these, you know, guys that aren't making much on the bench, that's a lot. So the 500,000 is going to be, I think it makes a difference. But they're trying, I think what he's trying to do is make the midseason more meaningful, right? The season has no meaning, and all they look forward to is what you win at the very end of the season. Put something in the middle to do this. I just don't think fans are going to care very much.
That's probably true. I mean, I don't. Do you care?
No, not at all.
Right.
Not at all. Now, if my team wins it or if they're in the championship game, I might tune in just to see, you know, what happens and how it all plays out.
But your interest is not any higher than any other NBA regular season.
Not any other regular NBA season.
Right.
Now, the 2023 Home Run Derby champion will be walking away with something a little different this year. Usually it's just a trophy, I believe. But this year, they're going to walk away with a sweet chain, which it actually looks pretty badass. It's got over 1,000 stones on it. It says Derby Champs. It's a Seattle themed, I guess you can say, or Mariner themed, which is kind of, you know, for an Astros fan, I don't necessarily like it, but it does look pretty, it looks pretty badass. The winner's going to get this big chain. What say you?
Fine with it. I mean, hey, like, if we need ways, because here's the thing. Here's the difference between, because I don't want to come across as hypocritical for saying, we're making this Home Run Derby matter more. And great. Good for you. When I just said, well, I don't care about the NBA in-season tournament. The difference is the NBA in-season tournament, you're trying to make regular season games matter more than they already do when there already is an inherent value in a regular season game. And unfortunately, the reason that we've gotten to where we are with the NBA one is teams have diminished the value of the regular season, so they're trying to offset that, the league is. In the case of the Home Run Derby, it is just a skills contest, exhibition-level event. So if you believe that you're going to further incentivize the guys that are in it to do well by having this chain, I'm all for it.
I'm all for it, too.
I think that's fine.
Oh, yeah. And I think it'll change by city. Have you noticed that the home run celebrations have changed for baseball, where these guys are putting on hats and doing all kinds of different stuff? I think that's sort of making its way into this, where next year, wherever the derby is, they're going to have a different themed piece of jewelry or necklace or whatever you can put on for winning.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of cool for the person that wins it, you know.
For sure.
For the city. Real quick, before we move on, let's talk about this. Have you signed up for Threads yet? Are you on Threads?
I have not.
You have not.
Are
so
you?
Threads? I did.
Oh, you did?
But it's an Instagram thing. So if you have Instagram or Facebook, it's just the same login information and stuff like that. But Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk are going head-to-head. Elon Musk owns Twitter.
Is Threads that why is now, this is Threads is a thing?
Yeah. Well, Zuckerberg so Threads was launched to sort of go against Elon and Twitter. But I have a proposal. Whoever wins the actual fight gets to keep their platform. The one who loses the actual fight has to shut down their
platform. I said this to
platform.
You the other day.
Oh, you did?
I said, if we have a fight and there's, you know, the winner gets to keep their social media.
Oh, well, great minds think alike.
There
I don't
we
remember
go.
You saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, I am I'm in favor of this. And I think that it would make the fight more interesting.
I think so, too.
They might, I don't know, maybe, do you think they fight hard regardless? Do they hate each other that much?
I think so. Yeah. I think, and they both have mixed martial arts backgrounds, so I think they want to win.
Sure.
You know? By the way, it's a knockoff, like, a little bit less version of Twitter.
Okay, gotcha. So Twitter's better?
I would say so.
All right. One final timeout, and we will get to the Friday Five. Five fun hypothetical would you rathers. What are you doing in this situation inspired by the week that was in sports? That's next. First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You're back with First Name Sports on the Sports Map Radio Network.
You want to ask this guy some questions?
Since it's Friday, it's time for some fun questions to get you ready for the weekend.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
It's the Friday Five with Greg Frank.
All right. As we wrap things up for the week that was, if you're new to the Friday Five, it is just a way to try and put ourselves in some situations that are going on or inspire a question out of a headline this week in sports and have some fun to launch ourselves into the weekend. So without further ado, let's get started. And we'll start with we talked about the NBA midseason tournament. The full details are going to be announced tomorrow night in an ESPN NBA Today special. And I want to know, because clearly the NBA has already made plenty of efforts of their own to tweak the regular season. How would you tweak a regular season in, it could be the NBA or a sport of your choice? Belmar, you go first.
I'll start with a couple quick ones. I'll put an extra bye week in the NFL. I think those guys deserve it. I think guys, especially ones that get it at the beginning of the season and then go through long stretches all the way through to the end, I think it'll help with injuries and stuff like that. I also think the NBA should shorten their season.
Yeah, I agree with shortening the season, but that's never going to happen.
No, of course not. The owners won't let it, but, you know, or the governors.
Yeah.
But I still would do it.
Okay. So I am going to eliminate All-Star games. And instead, I think the NBA has, and I guess the NHL, they have enough skills contests. I think we need more skills contests. And what I mean by that is, like, even NBA, I want the horse thing back.
Okay. Oh, that'd be awesome. That was cool. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I don't need to see. I would modify or add skills contests. The one that they have where it's like dribble, 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 and then pass through like this, like all these like cylindrical cones, and then take a jump shot. Like that
is boring.
Yeah, exactly. Like 3-point contest, kind of boring.
Unless can we get one-on-one back?
One-on-one, exactly. Like let's spruce up All-Star Weekend by getting rid of stuff that's either boring or the players don't care about. And I think that both the players don't care about All-Star games and they're boring, but some of the skills contests have ran their course. And in baseball, I'm adding a home to first, like who can run the fastest thing, you know, on top of the home run derby. Do like a throwing accuracy contest from the outfield. Like,
oh, that'd be fun.
There's more ways you can have fun with the All-Stars and the game no one cares about. So, like, the NBA tried to do that the way they end the All-Star game now. There's a term for it, and I'm
With the scoring.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
I can't remember what it's called now, but origami ending or score got no,
something
that's not
like
it.
That. But at least they're trying to do something different.
They're trying to do different things with the game itself. Let's change the contest before. Even the dunk contest. It's not as good anymore.
I agree.
All right, next one. So there's these rumors out there of, we talked about Britney Spears and Victor Wembanyama. They're not dating, but supposedly Tom Brady and Kim Kardashian might be a fling. And Paul Gallant here at the station looked at me like I had three heads when I said, I think Kim is more attractive than Kylie. And he was like, oh, you're crazy. You know. So the question is, give me a celebrity who you would like to date. And that's all I'm saying. Meaning, like, if the perception is, oh, well, that's going to fizzle out fast, you have to live with that. So who's a celebrity that you would like to date? That's all I'm saying. And then from there, it's up to you how long it lasts.
First of all, Kim is more attractive.
Thank
you. So I'll give you that. You're correct. I chose Meg Thee Stallion is the one that I would date. I think it'd be fun for a while. Be crazy with all the paparazzi and everything. But she's from this area, and I think it'd be fun.
Okay, so I am going to go with a longtime celebrity crush of mine who I think is a really good actress. So it's not just her looks, but I think her performances are really good. Amy Adams. So she's older, but what's that look about?
I got to look it up. I'm not sure who I find.
Oh, you don't know who
is.
Amy Adams is? Okay, look her up. You'll definitely recognize her when you see her. She looks good for 48. So, but I don't know if she'd want to date a 28-year-old.
That's true.
So,
oh, yes, yes. Okay.
Now you recognize
her. Yes, I recognize her.
So Amy Adams is the one that I would date. Now, here's another celebrity one as we move along. We talked about the Michael Rubin white party in the Hamptons. Michael Rubin, the Fanatic CEO, used to be a part of the Sixers ownership group. And every celebrity known to man was at this thing in the Hamptons on the 4th of July. If you were hosting your own white party, and you can invite any celebrity in the world, give me the first five that you're inviting.
Yeah, so I started with Keanu Reeves because is he a talented actor, he's one of the nicest humans on the planet.
Know that because you've met him? Or?
No, just because look at everybody that's ever interacted with him. You see him like helping the extras carry bags, and he just seems like one of the nicest people on the planet.
Okay.
Samuel L. Jackson because he's a badass, you know what.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler, because I need somebody there to dress down in basketball shorts and a t-shirt. And that's what he would show up. He would bring his greatness, but he would dress like that. J.J. Watt, for what he did to for the city of Houston, he will always be invited. I'll take him. And Post Malone, because I like his music, and I also think he's a great human being.
Okay, yeah, Post Malone, some of his music is pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I said Matthew McConaughey, because remember, that's kind of cheating, because we did the whole, like, with the match with Mahomes
yes.
and Kelce
playing
golf.
But you can never go wrong
who
with
would you
want to
play a round of golf with? I said McConaughey. Tiger Woods.
Oh, okay.
He's done playing golf. You know, like, I mean, he's pretty much done. You know, it seems like he'd be life of the party. Margot Robbie, another celebrity crush of mine. Jennifer Aniston, a little bit older, but seems like she'd have a good time. And another kind of rising actress who I'd like to just talk about some of her roles. She's been good lately. Ana de Armas. So, again, you don't even know who that is?
What did you say her last name was?
Ana de Armas.
I have no idea who that is.
Okay, look her up. But attractive, good roles in Knives Out. She was really good. Had a little thing with Ben Affleck, and then J-Lo came back. But she would be the last one that I would invite. All right, got a couple of minutes left here. So we have this Britney Spears, Victor Wembanyama thing that we talked about, which is just completely ridiculous.
Wild.
But Britney Spears was, when I heard that name, I was like, wow, I haven't heard that name in a good decade, 15 years. Who's a celebrity that you haven't thought of in a while that hasn't been relevant in a while?
The first person that came to my mind was Jim Carrey.
Oh.
Jim Carrey. Okay. I mean, growing up, not bad. Yeah, growing
but
up.
But Dumb and Dumber, right? When did that come out?
I don't 90s? Even know. Something like that. But, yeah. I was a big fan of a lot of his movies, a lot of his stuff. Ace Ventura, stuff like that. And he's just not relevant anymore. I don't hear anything about him.
Wow.
I haven't even thought about him in
a
while.
Jim Carrey. So I went with the Disney route because I used to watch like the Disney Channel stuff. Hilary Duff.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Another one where it's like
that was one of my crushes as a kid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, not a bad pick. it's just like, it always strikes me as odd. Like, Macaulay Culkin screwed it up too. Like, how Lindsay Lohan, another one, yep. Like Mean Girls was great, and then they just go away. And like, I don't get how you screw it up when you have that.
Hilary Duff is in some current movies, but it's not.
But you agree with me in terms of like, yes. Oh, I haven't heard that name in
exactly.
a while.
Exactly. And her music career is nowhere either. She used to have a music career too.
All right, a lot of celebrity questions in our Friday Five, but you know what? The headlines determine the Friday Five. Last one. Yesterday was the 15th anniversary of the 2008 Wimbledon final between Rafael Nadal and Roger Federer. He's widely hailed as the greatest tennis match of all time. What is one sporting event you would love to go back in time to and be able to attend?
I chose the Game 5 of the 2017 World Series against the Dodgers.
Okay, now, if you saw, I should have included, if it is one of your teams, I'm making you pick another one.
Yep, and that's
an
perfectly
fan.
Fine.
Yeah.
That game at Minute Maid Park was ridiculous, back and forth.
Yeah, it is one of the greatest games in World Series history.
It's one of the greatest World Series games in history. But you're making me choose another one because I'm going to Week 11, 2018 Monday Night Football, Chiefs and Rams. Yes, final score was something like
54-51, I think it was.
Something like that.
One of the craziest regular season games ever.
I watched it here at the radio station in our little bullpen area over here for interns with about 10 other people. We were losing our minds. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's an off-the-grid pick, but I don't mind a little curveball there. For me, so this tennis match is very high on my list. My sister lives in London. I've been to Wimbledon once. I'm a huge Nadal fan, and he won the match. So, but this is not my answer. For me, it's a Miracle on Ice. If I could have been there in 1980, what that moment meant for the country. And this is the answer because we're never going to see anything like that again. If I just say, like, the Flyers won the Stanley Cup in 1975, I've seen the Eagles win the Super Bowl, I've seen the Phillies win the World Series. If I just say, oh, I want to go back to when the Sixers won the NBA Finals or something, then that's me saying I have no confidence in them doing it while I'm alive. And, you know, I'd like to think I'm going to be around another 5-6 decades and I'm going to see it. So I don't think we're ever going to see something like the Miracle on Ice again. All those American hockey players were amateurs, and they beat this, you know, Soviet firepower team.
That's a great call.
Yeah, the movie's amazing, and it makes me want to go back all the time. So there we go. There's our Friday Five for the week, and that will do it for another edition of First Name Sports. John Bellmer on the other side of the glass, our producer. My name is Greg Frank. Back in the saddle on Monday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. Enjoy the final weekend of the unofficial first half of the baseball season. And we're back for All-Star Week. First Name Sports signing off on the Sports Map Radio Network.